Lord was telling me that, you know, the people have, after those 30 messages, have stopped praying again. And that's why I only did 30 messages on it, and so this is the 31st message. So you can add this to the prayer tapes as prayer tape number 31, okay? So that there are some months that have 31 days in it. So this is the 31st day, okay? And we have an urgent need for intercession, intercessory prayer right now, because it's just vexing my soul that we have so many requests that we cannot possibly fill them all without hurting our own ministry here in the United States, which is that we don't believe this is just a ministry. The Lord told us to go to the whole world. So we need help from our rich friend. Okay, so everybody in this church, no matter how feeble you think you are, have faith in God and let your prayer be heard on high tonight and every day until we see the breakthrough on this these difficulties that we have here. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And pray for us to have power and dominion over the entire political system of the world today, because we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers and principalities, all these different wicked things in this demonic world that are in high power. So they say all they need to do is pick up the phone and say, kill Tony, or put Tony in prison, or do a smear campaign on Tony. But we need to have power and dominion over this kind of power. And I believe that God, this is the prayer that the Lord was telling me to pray, the intercessory prayer, while I was just taking a shower. And he says, pray for power over the entire political system, and that your enemies will be saved. Well, there's a lot of enemies that we're praying for that will never be saved. And are you taping me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay, so they'll never be saved. And so we need to realize that we cannot do anything about this, but we have a very rich and powerful friend in the kingdom of heaven that has power and dominion over all flesh. And he's the God of all spirits, every spirit on earth that ever was or ever will be. And he can do something about it. Now, if it's the Lord Jesus Christ telling me to pray this prayer, are you taking it? Well, then we know for sure that God is hearing it, because it's the Lord himself, and that he's answering it, all right?
Amen.
And so, you know, when you're this political cult, every political cult gets powerful because they back all the politicians, and the politicians owe them favors. And that's how they get to be big, because it's not... That is no church, the Roman Catholic organization. It's a political system using a religion as a front for it. But they pick up the phone to different presidents that they put in, and kings and all different kind of politicians, and they tell them to do different things. That isn't any godly thing. It's so ungodly, it's unbelievable. It's just very believable when you know about it. So they do have the power to pick up the phone and order your execution, put you in prison, do a smear campaign on you in the news media, and just keep it rolling, because a lot of these people gave them, the Vatican has given them big jobs, and they owe favors, and they know that they have the power to take those jobs away from them. And so politically speaking, they have to, you know, wash each other's hands. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with the God of heaven, but it has to do with that one that is the head of the counter kingdom that is on this earth, doing everything in its power to, which is the kingdom of evil, doing everything on this earth to thwart or try to stop the kingdom of heaven. But God's some people the other day were saying, we have connections with the mafia. Well, so what? I've got a connection with the God, the big rich man up there in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? The man in the sky?
Yes,
And I know that he's much more powerful than the mafia, okay? He made their funny little bodies, and he's able to take the, you know, give life and take it away. So I'm in politically very strong with the creator and the one that is able to give us power over the entire political system. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we have it already, but we need to have faith that we have it, okay? And we need to pray to the Lord that God will do something about these people and that God will loose finances for us so that we can take care of not ourselves only, but we have to, you know, care about the people that are crying out. And they're not crying out for themselves. They're crying out for tracts. They're crying out for Bibles to give to the people that they're winning to the Lord. And Bible tapes, all these the series of tapes that I give on, off and on. And they're praying for food for orphans and clothing and things like that. So, I mean, love prefers, you know, does not look out for itself, but it looks out for others. And it vaunteth not itself. And so this is what this new tape that I just did speaks about, all right? So make sure that you that you get it to the baby, for everyone out there, as soon as it comes in. And so I'm using that because I only did 30 tapes, but there's 31 days to the month. So this is going to be prayer tape number 31, which is called A Rich Friend. Okay?
The importunity that prevailed.
Okay, so in other words, when God doesn't answer you right away, you continue praying. It isn't the right time, or God is just putting you on a test where he doesn't answer you right away. And so a person that has that is asking him these things and they don't get an immediate answer, they continue prevailing. They keep going until God answers. That's what that means. So now you can go to the next line.
The faith of the friend ran into a sudden and unexpected problem.
Now, there is a friend that came to this man's house. This man had a real good heart, and he took him into the house. And the man was hungry, and he wanted to give him some bread. Because the man said he wanted something to eat, and he had nothing to set before him. And so what he did is the friend just said, "You just sit here for a while and rest, and I'll go out in the midnight darkness to a rich friend of mine and see if he will lend me 3 loaves. Okay? And so, read this second line again.
The faith of the friend ran into a sudden...
So this man had faith that his rich friend was going to give him the 3 loaves, but he ran into a snag when he got there. Now read it again.
The faith of the friend ran into a sudden and unexpected problem.
That was like an obstacle here. Because, go ahead.
His rich friend refuses to hear him.
He always did. He couldn't believe that this is extremely disappointed because his rich friend told him, come back some other time. Go ahead.
Quote, "I cannot rise and give thee." End quote. This loving man's heart had not counted on this disappointment.
But because he had his hungry friend sitting over at his house waiting confidently that this man told him, "I'm going to go get the 3 loaves to feed you. I have a heart that wants to do something for you. I want to feed you. I don't want to see you hungry, because it grieves my heart to see people that are hungry for the Word of God and for food for their natural bodies." Then what?
This loving man's heart had not counted on this disappointment, especially his knowing of his rich friend's abundance. But he refuses to accept his rich friend's denial.
Yeah, he says, "This is. I'm still going to go, because he's never failed giving me before every time I ask him, so I'm going to continue. I refuse to accept his denial. I'm going to keep coming at him. I'm going to keep pounding on his door." And there's another scripture in the Bible that says that we shall
we are to pray and give God no rest day or night until we get the answer, just like Jacob did. He kept going with the Lord all night long until he said, I'm not going to let go of you until I get the blessing. You know the heart of your rich friend, and you know that he's the rich friend that answers prayers. And you know that he loves you to prevail in prayer. He wants to see people. That's the highest honor that can be given to our Maker, is that you trust him, that he is the good God that answers prayers. And so for that reason, you just prevail, because you refuse to accept his refusal. Because he is not going to refuse you when you're asking for food, clothing, Bibles, tapes, Bible messages. When there are people reaching out to us all over the world for these things and for bicycles to go to different villages and to preach the gospel. So we need to just keep praying until God gives us the wherewithal to receive these things, until he gives them to us. Okay, then what?
The love that opened his house at midnight and his leaving it to seek help must and will conquer.
Right, he opened his house to him and said, what do you want? And he says, I'm hungry, I want food, so come on in, sit here, I'm going to go get it. Then what else?
This is the main lesson of this parable. In our intercession, we may find that there is difficulty and delay in the answer. It could be as if God is saying, quote, I cannot give thee.
When we know full well that God can give us. He has an abundance of everything. Amen?
Amen.
All the good things that Bibles and money for Bibles and all the bread and the rushes we need. There are churches in this world that there is no professional people in them whatsoever. There's so much mistakes making by them, it's unbelievable. And yet, God gives them abundantly. They're not professional money makers, never have been, and probably never will be. And yet, God feeds every one of them, and pays their rent, and pays for their cars, and buses, and trucks, and all the other different things. It's God doing it. It's obvious that it couldn't be anybody in that little church that hasn't any professional help whatsoever. They must rely totally on God, on their rich friend. Then what?
It is not easy, against the appearances, to hold fast our confidence that he will hear, and then to continue to persevere in full assurance that we shall have what we ask.
After he refuses. Read that line again. After he refuses. Very what?
Not easy, against the appearances, to hold fast our confidence that he will hear, and then to continue to persevere in full assurance that we shall have what we ask.
Sure, he says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I have nothing. I'm not going to do it. And say, oh yes, I'm not going to let you go until I receive the blessing, because I know you have it. And I know you're a good God, and I know you want us to have it. I know you want your work to continue on. And so there, I'm going to persevere until I get my answer. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Even so, this is what God requires of us.
That's what he requires, is that we persevere. That we keep coming at him. It doesn't offend him at all, that he loves that. Okay, then what?
He highly prizes our confidence in him, which essentially is the highest form of honor we creatures can give our Creator. He therefore will do anything to train us in the exercise of this trust to him. Blessed is the man who is not staggered by God's delay or silence or apparent refusal, but is strong in faith, giving glory to God. Such faith perseveres importunately.
Yeah, what he's saying, it's not the right time. Such faith just keeps coming at him saying, it is the right time. You say now is the time of salvation. All these people in Africa and India and here in the United States that want Bibles and tracts to distribute to people and bicycles so they could take it to them, how can we tell them the scripture that says, now is the acceptable time of salvation? If, Lord, you profess, you're going to believe the, all which you profess, then give us the wherewithal so that that can happen, so that those people that are getting saved immediately in these different countries and here in the United States can have the wherewithal to get saved. How are they going to get saved if somebody doesn't come and tell them the truth and they need bicycles to go and tell them, and some of them need cars, and some of them need living facilities? Now, we know you're a big God, and you have plenty of abundance of money. You own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the hills. You own the world that the hills are on. You own all the diamonds. You put them in the earth, all the diamonds, the gold, the silver, the rubies, the emeralds. You put all the pearls in the sea. And we want some of it, Lord, to do your work. And so they say, no, I don't, I'm not going to. Yes, you are going to give it to me because it's your word. You can't go back on your word, and we're not going to go back on it either. We're going to stay toe-to-toe with you. Now, give us the money, Lord, in the name of Jesus, so that we can get this work done that you commanded us to do. How are we going to do it unless we have the funds? How are we going to give bread and clothes and all the other different things that you tell us to give people? Houses and churches and bullhorns and bikes and Bibles and all the other things that they're requesting from us. And you see these letters. You're very well acquainted with them. Even more so, you saw them writing these letters, and you even put it in their heart to write to us. Lord, we don't want to disappoint our friends over in those areas. Now we're coming to our rich friend. We're coming to you, the Almighty God, to make our request known to you. And Lord, don't say it's not the right time, because now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time that we must do this, because we must do it while it is still light, because there's going to come an hour where it will be night and we won't be able to work at all. So give it to us now in the name of Jesus, Father. Now! That's the way you have to pray. Well, not now. Well, then when? If salvation isn't needed, millions of souls are dying every year, Lord. We want it now. We're not going to let go of you. We're not going to slow down this prayer until you give us the funds to get this these jobs done, to service these people that need all these things. We want to get all the different people that we have into the gospel field instead of selling cans of food and stuff like that. Send us billions and trillions of dollars. You're God. You're more than able to do this. Well, it's not the opportune time. Then when would be? After the whole world is destroyed? It's now. You. This isn't you, Lord. It can't be you. Now give us the money. In the name of Jesus. Okay, then what?
Such faith perseveres importunately, if need be, and cannot fail to inherit the blessing.
You cannot fail to inherit the blessing, what you're asking for. You're wanting to bless all these people all over the world. And God's the one that's got all the money. He's got it stashed somewhere. You just have to get up there and ask for it, right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The certainty of a rich reward.
There is an absolute certainty that you're going to receive a great reward for this, a rich one. Then what?
Quote, I say unto you, ... because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth, end quote. Oh, that we might believe in the certainty of an abundant answer.
If you just keep trying, if you just ask once and forget about it, God doesn't call that faith, prevailing faith. Then what?
Let not our hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. It would be wonderful for all those who find it hard to pray would fix their eyes on the reward.
You know, if you just think about the great reward and that God is for sure going to give it to you, fix your eyes on that. Keep your mind on that. Those of you that think it's so hard to pray, or you say, well, it didn't come the minute I spoke. No, it didn't come the minute you spoke. And it's more than likely because you're not praying enough and God isn't hearing from you enough. And he wants to hear you keep banging on the door. And he wants you to keep banging on there until you prevail, until he opens it and thrusts whatever it is that you're asking for out the door and into your arms. Okay, then what?
It would be wonderful for all those who find it hard to pray if they would fix their eyes on the reward and in faith learn to fully count upon God's divine assurance that their prayer cannot be in vain.
Your prayer cannot be in vain. It's an absolute promise. And if it's a prevailing prayer, it's for sure you're going to receive what you're asking for. For sure. Then what?
If we will only believe God and his faithfulness, intercession will become the very first thing we take refuge in when we seek blessings for others.
Right, that's the first thing. When you see things not going your way, that you're not able to bless all the different people that are writing in, well then, take refuge in intercession. You start praying to God for them. And if you're doing that work, all things will be added unto you too. You're praying for others, and you're preferring others before yourself, and so therefore, God will give you so much abundance, your home will not be able to contain it all. You'll be stacking chairs upon chairs and tables upon tables, beds upon beds. Then what else?
It will be the very last thing for which we cannot find time.
When you finally realize that this works, that'll be the last thing that you say, I don't have time for. Then what?
It will also become a thing of joy and hope, because all the time we pray, we recognize that we are sowing seed that will bring forth fruit and hundredfold. Disappointment is impossible.
Right. You're not going to be disappointed if you do that. It's absolutely impossible because it's the will of the Lord. It's guaranteed. I guarantee you that you will not be disappointed if you just stay in there with the Lord. Praying and asking, banging on his door. Those that have so little faith, those that have so little prayer, they don't get answered right away because they haven't been up there enough, and now they're put in, God puts them in a place where they have to get up there and stay up there. That's why you're not answered as quickly as you'd like to be. Don't wait for a time when it's a prayer for yourself. Pray for others. You can see their need throughout the world. Then what else?
I say unto you, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Those who love souls and workers in the service of the Lord, the gospel, do take courage. Time in prayer will yield more than that given to any other work.
Yeah, when you put your time into praying, that'll give you, there'll be more rewards than anything else that you can do. Because God, when he answers, and you do what he says, everything is cleared. The whole map is cleared. You saw that out here, or at the city council, and all over the place. When you do it, he says, get your literature out all over the world. And here the doors are opening up in Los Angeles now because we just land blast. He told me to go there and put out 2 million tracks, and we did. He's telling me, go back there again and put out another 2 million. And the doors are opening all over the place. Then what else?
Prayer alone gives work its worth.
Gives work its worth. You can work and work and work, but if you're not praying to the Lord, your work is not worth much. But if you're working and praying, then your prayer gives work its worth. Makes it worthwhile. Okay, then what?
Prayer alone gives work its worth and its success. Prayer opens the way for God Himself to do His work in and through us.
Yeah, there's no way that He can work in and through us unless you pray. Then what?
Let our number one work as God's messengers be intercession. In it, we secure the presence and power of God to go with us. Quote, which of you shall have a friend, at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. This friend is none other than our God in the darkness of midnight, at the most unlikely time, and in the greatest need, when we have to say of those we love and care for, quote, I have nothing to set before them.
Lord, I love these people. I love what they're doing over there in India and Africa and in Philippines and here in the United States, these little people that are just distributing the literature and winning souls. They need something. They need more of this bread to distribute to the others that are hungering and thirsty in this world for your word. You're not going to turn us down. Are you, Lord? Would this be a work of the Lord if you turn us down for something like that? Give us the money, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It's for your work, not mine. It's impossible for him to turn me away. He's going to turn the money over to us. Then what?
Let us remember that we have a rich friend in heaven, the everlasting God and Father, is only waiting to be asked with faith. Let's confess before God our sin of not praying and lack of prayer. Let us also admit the lack of faith which comes by the Word of God, of which lack of prayer is the proof, is the symptom of a life that is not spiritual, that is yet under the power of self and the flesh and the world.
My God isn't going to answer that kind of a person. Then what?
Let us, by faith in the Lord Jesus, who spoke this parable and waits to make every bit of it true in us, give ourselves to be intercessors. Let us, every time we see souls needing help, let every stirring of the spirit of compassion, let every sense of our own impotence to bless.
Our inability to bless people. We can't bless people. The blessing has to come from God. We have to know that we're utterly dependent on Him to be able to fulfill all these needs of all the people in the world. We can't do it, Father. We're totally impotent, helpless. We need our rich friend to give us this loot. Okay, then what?
Let every difficulty in the way of getting an answer altogether combine only to urge us to do this one thing. With importunity to cry to the God who alone can and will help.
He alone can do it. There's you can go to any other person in this world, you can go to rich philanthropists and all that, they're not going to give it to you. Unless God wakes them up in the middle of the night and chokes it out of them, or whatever He does to get them to release their funds to us. But you have to go to God to make so that God will do something like that. Wherever He sends it from, I don't know. And I don't care, just so we get it. Okay, then what?
But if we know for sure we have failed in a life of intercession until now, then let us do our best to train our young generation of Christians who can profit by our mistake and avoid. Moses could not enter Canaan, but there was one thing he could do. He could, at God's command, quote, charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, Deuteronomy 3:28. If it seems to be too late for us to make good our failure, let us at least encourage those who come after us to enter.
Yeah, at least train the kids to do this. Okay, you waited too long, it's too late for you. Well, at least train the children. Okay, then what else?
Let us at least encourage those who come after us to enter into the good land, the blessed life of unceasing prayer. The model intercessor is the model Christian worker. To get from God and then to give to men what we ourselves secure from day to day is the secret of successful work. Intercession is the blessed link between our impotence and God's omnipotence.
That's it. Lives with more money than it was in Fort Knox, in the Swiss Alps, in the Vatican banks, and in all the richest families in the world's pockets. He can give us enough money to be able to supply all the needs of everyone in the world. But we have to bang on the door. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord.